Are we burning down our cities because of a lie? Let's talk about it on today's Odd Zone. Hi, folks. Chuck Holton here. I am so glad to be back in the United States of America. Always am. It is, I believe, the greatest country on Earth for many, many reasons. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that so many people want to come here. And if you look around the world, they did a study in Latin America and found that like something over 40% of the population of Honduras and Guatemala would like to come to the United States. Those are just two countries, but I think that is pretty evident across the spectrum. Virtually everyone in Cuba, except for the leadership, would want to come here. A lot of Mexicans are already here, and the list goes on. But the bottom line is, you don't see people clamoring to get into other countries like you see them clamoring to get into the United States. And there's many reasons for that, but I would say that one of the reasons that we see that is because America has a very good system of law and order. America is a just and fair place. Now, we've heard a lot on the news recently since the death of George Floyd about the systemic injustice and systemic racism in the system. Well, I really believe that that's a lie, and here's why. It's not even a matter of opinion. It's simply arithmetic. Let's go back to 2019. The Wall Street Journal has been reporting on and tracking the number of shooting deaths by police in the United States for many years. And this is from a recent monologue from Tucker Carlson. He pointed this out, and you ought to go watch that monologue if you get a chance, because it's really powerful. But what he pointed out was that in 2019, there were a grand total of all of the shootings that happened by police in the United States. There were about 1,000 total shootings in the United States. Now, in virtually all of those shootings, the perpetrator had a gun and was shooting at the police, actively attacking the police. But when you narrow down the shootings by race to only black people, and you narrow down those shootings to black people that were unarmed, in 2019, there were a grand total of 10 shootings of unarmed black people in the United States in the entire year. In a nation of 330 million people, 10 shootings of unarmed black people. In those 10, only two of them were not actively in the commission of a felony when they were shot. And I don't mean robbing a bank or anything like that. I mean actively attacking the police. They were literally, in many cases, on top of the police officer trying to kill them when they were shot. And so in the two cases where an unarmed black person was shot, two of those cases is all. Both of the police officers involved have been charged and arrested in that case, in those cases. So why are we tearing apart America because of two cases in a nation of 330 million people? When you think about the disinformation that is being put out there, I've heard this called a genocide against black people. Now look, I said it before and I'll say it again. You literally cannot find anybody who is celebrating the death of George Floyd. Everybody across the board condemns the death of George Floyd. the officers have been arrested and charged and lost their jobs. The system of justice that we have in place is working. When something is done wrong, when somebody is murdered, they get charged with those murders. If you go to El Salvador, the murder clearance rate is something on the order, that is murder clearance rate, meaning something where somebody gets murdered and someone is arrested for that murder and then charged and convicted. The murder clearance rate is less than 1%. That means you have a 99-point-something% chance of getting away with it if you kill somebody in the street in El Salvador. That's not uncommon around the world. Go to Nigeria. Go to, I mean, that's the largest country in Africa. Go to Russia. Go to, there are many, many countries around the world where you can literally get away with murder without too much trouble. In the United States, the murder clearance rate is 62%. Now, not the highest in the world, but a whole lot better than most of the world. We have a good, solid justice system. Now, is it perfect? No, nowhere close to perfect. But we have a justice system that is the envy of the world, without a doubt. Now, the problem here is that there are political elements, there are social elements like Black Lives Matter, and there are activist elements, and the media, I would classify as one of those, who are actively pushing the lie that Black people are being targeted and murdered at vastly higher rates in the United States than whites. And it's just not true. There were more whites shot by police in the United States last year than there were blacks. Think about that. Now, there were far more interactions with blacks by the police, typically because the police are in bad neighborhoods and blacks, by and large, tend to live more in neighborhoods that are high crime areas. That means that we have police that are going to the places where they're supposed to be, where we need them. We need police to be in high crime areas. And yet, they are significantly less likely to shoot a black man than they are to shoot a white man, by the numbers. That's not opinion. That is arithmetic. Now, the problem is that in 2019, 48 police officers were ambushed and murdered on the job. This is far more than the 10, unarmed blacks that were killed, obviously. And it has a very chilling effect on recruitment. So we're seeing police under attack from two different areas. Number one, they're under attack from the media, the social welfare, social justice organizations, and the politicians who don't stand up for the police. So the police kind of feel like, if you're not going to stand behind me, why would I stand in front of you? And so what I'm seeing, as I talk to my friends who are police officers, they're telling me, I don't understand why anybody would want to be a police officer today. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, I made a piece about this for the NRA, and we went around the country and interviewed police officers about what it's like to do their job. And again, this is like 2017, so imagine what they feel like right now. Take a look.
We always try to use the least amount of force. It's good versus evil, right? If you want to go fight with the cops, that's your choice. But when I was growing up, you just don't do that.
What this last year has brought out is a political environment and a media environment that wants to believe that the police were wrong before any facts come out.
Chopped off at the head right there for any mistake because of the spin that media has put on law enforcement.
The police crackdown on these mostly peaceful protests.
The responsibility to follow the laws and respect and obey law enforcement is built into democracy at the front end. Now, obviously, we can undermine that by being bad cops, and nobody wants that. But the fact that the police have a legitimate right to go about their business and, you know, root out crime and stop criminals and all that sort of stuff, that's where I really think some things are lost.
And I tell people, we didn't ask to come into your house. You call us to resolve the issue, and if someone breaks the law, we have to take them.
We've got to protect ourselves. So if this person decides they're going to resist to whatever level, especially if it involves a weapon, we've got to be able to deal with that and not hesitate.
It's going to be very difficult. You're going to be second-guessing yourself. You're going to be thinking about what national leaders, what political leaders are going to be saying. Even if you're justified within your policy and your guidelines for your agency.
I think that when you have police violence that terrorizes communities, that doesn't show the respect that you're supposed to have from protecting people in your authority, that can feel also terrorizing.
So it creates an environment for officers where sometimes they may hesitate, they may be afraid to do their job, they may be concerned that if they do what they should do, that they could be indicted.
I think that there's a real issue with administration backing up law enforcement officers, and I think that there's a very poor understanding by the public of the situational decision-making that law enforcement officers have to make.
City Council, they actually introduced a bill where they actually cursing at the police is not a crime. And seeing what's happened over Ferguson and all the different demonstration, a lot of people are second guessing that, is this what I really want to do for a career now?
I've made it very clear that I worked with the police and instructed them to do everything that they could to make sure that the protesters were able to exercise their right to free speech. We also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well.
But at the end of the day, it's a risky job.
We don't have an opportunity to FaceTime anybody on a call for service. It's get out of the car, go find out what happened, talk to people, engage them, get facts from them.
I have thousands of encounters with civilians where nobody was injured and there was no threat to anybody's safety because everybody complied, everybody was professional, and everybody was polite.
In 1988, I remember the guys who had 30 years on, getting ready to retire, telling us we'd hate to be starting now. Things have changed. It's all different, but I think I understand what they were saying now.
Hey, the cops pull you over, you don't have a right to say, well, that cop is not legitimate, I'm not going to stop today and take off. You do. You have to pull over and you have to obey lawful commands.
You know, after a while, cops are just going to say, I'm out. I'm done.
It's not worth having to try to explain yourself because people don't feel like they have the administration's backing, or they're concerned of what the press is going to do with it.
Unfortunately, media gets a hold of that stuff based on cell phones, based on social media, based on criminals that give the improper wrong information to the media, and the media goes with it.
We are the face of the government, and 9 times out of 10, we're the only one-on-one interaction you're gonna see.
And I can't tell you how many cops in casual conversation joking say, you know, what we ought to do is just take a couple of weeks off. You don't want us anymore? Let's take a couple of weeks off and go to the house and see how things work out for you. And I'm not here to be your parent. I'm here to enforce the laws of the state.
Police are more professional, better trained, better equipped, better informed than they've ever been. You know, the police forces we have out there in the community today are excellent, and the community should be proud to have them and trustful of them. But unfortunately, we have a lot in the political and the media and the activist movement that just want to condemn the police every chance they get.
Okay, folks, so I think it's important and imperative on us that we push back on this narrative that police are a bunch of jackbooted thugs that are out there hunting black people. It's just simply not true. And this push to defund the police is so insane Because, listen, I've been to Somalia. Take it from me. You don't want to live there. We need to support the police and thank the police every chance we get. That's all I've got for today. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone.